This is session number 232, recorded on January 8th, copyright 2010, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 6 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Good evening. Now, before we get into some of Carol's stuff, I have something to mention. I've just thought of it. I don't know if I need to think of it before Ion can know it, but you do know what I'm going to mention, Ion, right now?
Absolutely not, Bob. We're gonna answer your question, so you proceed.
So you absolutely don't know what I'm going to bring up?
Absolutely. We voided it completely from the ethers.
Okay, well, I'm now giving you permission to check it out.
Okay.
Have you got it now?
We're good. Proceed.
You get it. So I want you to make a statement about it. In any way, any level of esoteric or upfront, truth out, whatever you want to say before I go into the story.
Okay. Then this is very easy. We got it this afternoon before you did.
Yeah.
And it has to do with dealing with the ushering in of apocalypse. Of the apocalypse.
Okay, good.
Referenced in John of Patmos. And John the Revelator.
They're not the same person?
Correct. They're two different people.
Okay.
But the apocalypse, the end, as you call it. And then we're going to give you the correct definition of apocalypse. And we're going to beg Connie desperately to run us a little exegesis on it to sieve out what it actually means. And by the time we're through, it will wrap right back into your topical conversation.
That I'm bringing up now.
Yes.
Yeah, and I understand apocalypse means revelation of secrets. Do you agree with that meaning?
That's not correct.
Oh, okay. All right, so I was coming back from the beach, and as I was passing in front of the chapel, I don't even think I looked at the time. I was just looking at the people and the big waves, and then all of a sudden, very subtly, I got dizzy, didn't get nauseous, but I started to waver, but not the wavering as Queen Mother has been described to us. It was just, basically I said, oh, I'm getting a sugar rush or something. And I thought, oh.
Amyl nitrate will do that for you too, Bob.
Yeah, so I thought I was getting this little, you know, my head started to sort of go up and down, scenery went up and down slightly, and I thought, gee, this keeps going, I'll fall over. And then it stopped. So I thought it was more of a physiological, you know, sickening or whatever, a disturbance of my metabolism. But I don't think till I got home, I said, oh, yeah, I was walking right by where our portal's going to be. And I got the wavering portal very subtly, and I stopped it.
Yeah.
I stopped it. And, that's what I want to know if Ion is commenting on that.
Yes.
So, yes, that was an apocalypse. If it continued, it would have been an apocalypse. I would have been epileptically on the ground there, vibrating around. People would have taken me to the hospital. But I put a stop to that.
Well, if they had seen you.
That's a good point. Okay, so that happened to be Dave, that interesting count right in front of the chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And we're creating a portal down there. There isn't anyone there, supposedly, I understand. We're creating one.
Mm-hmm.
That was the beginning of the creation of one.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
The beginning of the opening of it.
It's
been there forever, but it's not been activated.
That's a good point, because the first time we brought it up, Ion said either it was one there, because we were talking about the one up in Haleakala. Either was one there or mentioned we would create one there, but then later did say one was already there and then we would activate it. So, yes, so
exactly.
It's a latent
correct,
point.
They've been using it on the other side for millennia.
Right, so it was only lasted like 4 seconds at most in my time. Now, I might have been gone, I might have went somewhere for two years and came back. Right, JW?
No, I didn't go through.
I didn't go through. I stopped it.
Wait, just calm
down.
No, but let me just give you my subjective response, then you can correct it. So I just wanted to say that it was interesting because it wasn't a dizziness. It wasn't a sugar rush. But my mind wanted to put it in those terms, but it was like the whole room really started to move up and down.
almost like a euphoria type.
Yeah, a slight euphoria. You could say your kundalini was going up your head. I felt it right back here, Carol, in the back of the head where the kundalini supposedly goes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's my subjective account. Please clarify what went on, Ion. Please explain what happened. I'll have to ask my question. What happened, Ion? What happened to me?
Very good. What happened was it started for the first time not becoming something that offended the labyrinth of your mind, taking you into the apocalyptic revelation, and that you shook yourself in the process and go, wait, I want to know, but I don't know that I want to know right now. I think I want to know. No, I want to know. No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Am I going to pass out? I don't know. This is different. This is not bad. It's just different. We told you this the other night when we were speaking of if no one had ever had an orgasm and you all of a sudden found yourself engaged in one,
yeah,
you'd be going to the doctor quickly to find out this anomaly that you were surely going to die.
Yeah.
Well, this is that same process. Once you understand that coitus is a kind of a normal biological function, just like what you experienced today, it won't be quite so blissful or shattering for you. It'll become a natural process. Now, Connie's dimmed hers down just with the throbbing head.
What did you just say? She dimmed hers down? Is that what you said?
Yeah, yours was a little more radical. Hers is not so radical. It's more of a building of pressure.
Okay.
But you're not having that, see, but this quick thing in and out, that's okay. Because it didn't pain you long enough to notice that it was painful,
mm,
other than it was just a difference of experience.
Yeah.
And that wasn't too bad. But it didn't last long. It can, and then once you get used to it, just like when you're on a roller coaster and it takes your stomach when you go over the hill.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of a rush type thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know it's a ride and you know it's not going to last forever, but if you're falling off a building or falling in a pit that has no bottom, all of a sudden that could just be a striking experience because you're like, this is going on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I can't even catch my breath. I'm going falling so fast. So you gauge it from how far you want to look over the edge. And that has to do specifically with the topical place that you brought us to of the apocalypse.
Right. Now, let me respond a bit. In retrospect, when I got home, I started thinking, I guess, in the shower, that, oh, maybe that was the beginning of a portaling. And I thought, wow, it happened when I least expected it.
Yeah.
But what was funny, it happened where maybe I could have expected it if I was thinking, oh, this is the portal. When are we going to see the portal? When are we going to experience it? Well, it happened right there, but it was the first thing from my mind. That was interesting,
mm-hmm,
in retrospect. And
the reason you didn't look at the time is because the time was off, or would have been off from your gauge of adding appreciable time to the experience.
I wouldn't have been able to judge how long.
Did you look at the clock today?
I don't remember looking at them. That's what I noted earlier, that
all
I didn't look at the chapel. I always do, and I don't think I did this time, because right when a boat, when I would look,
mm-hmm,
always the same point, that's
mm-hmm
when it happened, and then
yeah,
that distracted me.
Yeah.
So you're saying that I didn't look because the time would appear to be off to me, and that would have done what to my mind?
Well, you said it was 4 seconds, and it was more like 4 or 5 minutes.
Wow, but not in this world's time.
But if there is no world, there is no time.
Yeah. Well, whose time is that for me? Because I certainly...
There is no time, Bob. That was just a... It would just be a long... Okay, we should say it this way. It was a longer than you thought experience.
All right. Did I... And nobody could see me. See, I was thinking, well, you know, immediately, like, okay. After it happened, I thought, well, if that actually went longer, I probably would have stood there frozen, and everybody would look at this guy just stand there staring into space for maybe 2 minutes. Now you're saying no one even would have seen me. So I don't have to worry about being seen.
Just like the lady in the black bathing suit that almost didn't see you, or that she acted as though you didn't see her.
Yeah, that was today?
Yeah.
Was that on the walkway?
No, it was on the beach.
Yeah, I nodded at a couple of people today.
In a black bathing suit.
That sounds familiar. And what happened? I didn't look at her?
You did, but she didn't see.
We missed each other. We both looked at each other and nodded, but missed each other, right?
Exactly.
We didn't see, and so we thought we didn't acknowledge. Yes,
right.
I remember that. I think there was something like that. And
right.
Now, what was that? That woman didn't see me, or why are you pointing out that exchange?
Just to bring it back to the light of, if you'd have been foaming at the mouth, frothing on the ground, she would have walked by and nodded and walked right on by. She would have, you would have been a deja vu, not a physical interaction.
A deja vu for her?
You, her, all of you. The point of it is you shift, you fracture, you continually fracture time. So you fracture it so you could not be in the same time realities.
So what? Okay, what is the significance of her and me not connecting our gaze at each other?
That your timing wasn't synced up.
Because we were in different realities or something?
Your time reality, your time was your time synchronicity was fractured.
Yeah, so
you saw her and she saw you, but when she saw you, it wasn't when you saw her, and when you saw her, it wasn't when she saw you. But you both saw each other. It just wasn't synced up. And she nodded and you nodded, but neither one of you acknowledged that you nodded because it wasn't a synced up experience. And that's one more proof that your proof is in the pudding that there is no time.
Yeah,
that fractured segments of reality. Did you get that, Connie? Fractured sections of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe called segments sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But fractured segments of reality.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason we didn't sync up had nothing to do with me having...
You're never synced up. You're never synced up. It's a wild hair when you do sync up. And you see everything is synchronized, that everyone has the same amount of time. Same day, the sun comes up, sun goes down, same amount of hours, same amount of weeks, same amount of... It's just not the case. It's just not the case. And when you do bump into someone, it's kind of like moving heaven and earth, that you actually do get, you and Connie get to the beach at the same time.
Right, because we're all so much in our own universes.
Well, not so much in your own universes. You are the center of your universe. And then that overlapping that can be experienced, but see, that's the tactility of it. You see things being synced up as normal. That's actually the tactile reference of it, because you had to go to a great deal of trouble to allow it to be synchronized.
With who? Anybody? When I do
with,
it?
With anyone else,
yeah,
in your world. You, the synchronicity between you and you sometimes.
Right. Why was it a deja vu?
That's how we experience it when we are in relationship.
You mean when we sync up and notice each other? That's a deja vu?
Or it's off, you find it off a bit, you remember, oh yeah, I remember that, but then I don't. Oh yeah, that's deja vu. I've seen this before. I've been here before. Well, actually, you're fixing to be there, and it's the syncing up that brings you this notion of deja vu. Now, that's for you, Bob, not for everybody, just because you take nothing literal and nothing serious. So for you, you let it sort of like duck water off a duck's back. No big deal. But for others, they'd have to go see the Swami and take 6 months of detox to figure it out. Where for you, it's like, well, that was interesting. Now, what else was I not thinking about to remember to forget that I forgot? You see, you're different. And then that light, and that makes up you the perfect asker as well. Because you don't have to stay on topic. It doesn't have to matter. It doesn't have to work.
Yeah.
It just does. You push at it until it suits you. You sync it. Synchronize it. Now, sometimes you're off and it takes you a little while to catch up with you, and you admit that time and time again. And then it's meaningful because you took an action to make sure to, let's say, damn it to hell, we're going to figure this out. No, damn it to hell, I'm going to figure this out, and I'm going to keep beating this until I figure it out, you see. And that's good. There's not a problem there. It's all very well.
Right. Now, the deja vu was the experience I had with the black woman, because we didn't sync up, but we almost synced up. We almost synced up, so we remembered that, hey, that almost was a sync up. I remember we synced up once before. If we had synced up, it would have been reminded me of the experiences where I did sync up with other
correct.
People. That's the
that's
deja vu
correct.
Aspect.
Correct. Can be.
Yeah, it becomes a deja vu because it didn't sync, so we go, oh, I think I had an experience there. It looks familiar.
Exactly. Very good. And you see, it works both ways. Sometimes you experience something that you know you've already experienced before as deja vu, and sometimes it's the other way around to where you are going to experience something that you haven't, and then you find yourself experiencing it.
Right. Now, did
Vujade.
That...
Vujade.
Right, Vujade. So, the interaction with her, did that have anything to do with the chapel experience?
No.
You're just, so if I was there for 4 minutes, no one would have noticed it. And I went 4 minutes, and what did I do in the 4 minutes? Did I go somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
Or I just wrestled with whether allowing myself to continue?
Correct.
Right.
You shook the doorknob, looking through the peephole to see if you could open the door.
Right. And the... Now, that just happened...
Had you embraced your symbols, you might have been able to comfortably ease into that process.
Yeah, and I have not, in my terms, had time or set aside the effort to memorize them. So in a way, it's good, but at least it showed me it's sort of possible.
Yes.
Yeah, or I remembered that I had it.
And then you didn't think to ask Julie for an ice cube.
That's right. I totally would have forgotten all that.
Exactly. So
who's
you know,
Julie?
Over.
Who's Julie? Ask Julie for
Julie or Katie, you know, the girl.
Oh, yes, Julie. Is that her name, Julie?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, we didn't mean to invade.
So the funny thing is, Carolyn, the last few days I've been walking by and Kate's there, even to Scarlett before. I always say, big waves, you know. I say, pray for me as I go by, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I did that with Kate yesterday, and then today... we did again, pray for me. So when I came back, I said, hey, your prayers worked. I'm still alive.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, she said, well, I won't be here tomorrow. I said, well, but I'll be here Sunday. She said, great, because the big ones are coming Sunday. You better be here. I'll need all the help I can get. So here I am joking with the dying. I'm actually saying, pray for me. Mm-hmm. And I was getting ready for the chapel experience.
Uh-huh.
The real wave.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Ion? Think that could be connected?
Well, all you asked her was to ask for you.
Yeah, to pray for me, which is just, I don't know what that means. It's just a joke, but to ask for me.
Yeah, pray. We pray for relief. We pray for your assistance. That means to ask for assistance, ask for recognition.
Right.
Ask for, ask.
Yeah, so I asked her. And it's in the context of the big waves the last few days, but I'm saying it actually was my, quote, subconscious getting me ready for what was going to happen at the chapel.
Well, you recognize your deity when you say pray for me. That means ask for me.
Right.
So when you pray to God, ask for me.
Right.
I'll be there.
Right. So
that's the larger dynamic, and you're coming to that place. It's very good.
Okay.
But you're actually already there because you can give damn about anybody else in you in the world. It's got to work around you, period. And to hell with everybody else. So that's okay, you marvelous, selfish creator. That's wonderful. So it's not a problem. But then what happens is you decide the fastest path to your joy in this level or degree of participation still allows others in your environment, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
So that's very delicious. It's good. Now, here's a better way to say it, to get it out of this. It's a different context, Bob, if we could take Liege here just a moment.
Well, let me say one thing about what so that will prompt me, I better memorize the symbols.
No.
It might happen again. I know it's action, but I'm going to take it anyways, even though it is action. It's my fastest path to my joy.
Good. Okay. Now you're ready to empty your bladder. Very good.
Yeah. So I have that just in case. And the point is, I can't look for it to happen again. I mean, I didn't even expect it to happen, so it'll maybe happen again unexpectedly.
Your words are very interesting tonight, Bob. Just in case.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Just in case, and I better learn the stuff just in case I get zapped again.
In case. To encase a concept or a visualized idea in a degree of expectation from a manifestation just in case you are prepared. Just in case. That's what we're talking about. Very, very, very good. Connie, what are you feeding this boy?
Well, I had 4 sticker bars. I think that helped.
Oh,
that's why I thought it was a sugar rush.
Thought it was, yeah. Might have was, yeah.
Oh,
now, here we go.
I want to say in case. That's E-N-C-A-S-E, right? You're saying just in case, E-N-C-A-S-E.
No, not E-N-C-A-S-E.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you were making just in case the concept. Okay.
And then you can use it the other way, because you make up these words up. Y'all accuse us of it all the time, so it's not you. You can take poetic license.
Yeah.
Now here we go. What we were going to give you as an example, if we haven't screwed the pooch thoroughly already yet, is think about your own self. Okay. Now you think of having pains of hunger, or being peckish, or being hungry.
Right.
Okay. Now, that occurs before you go to forage the food.
Right.
Or sometimes you're walking through and something's laying there and you go, those strawberries look good, or that looks nice, or I think this will lay down. I think I'll have a bite of this, or that seems engaging to me. So sometimes you eat before you're hungry.
Yeah.
Or if you start eating, let's say you get on your millet, and you start, well, you're grazing and eating, and you're not hungry, and it doesn't necessarily satisfy you, but you just eat meat, 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 meat.
Yeah.
Just from that process. Okay, that's a syncing up too, Bob, because that's where you get to a place where after the 4th Snicker bar, you decided to stop.
Yeah.
Well, why 4? Was 5?
Well, that's all he took with him.
Well, but though, so you knew in advance how many Snicker bars it was going to take to get you there.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was even before you necessarily desired the Snicker bars, but then you calculated how many it was going to be to get it done.
Yeah, yeah.
But it could have been a half of one, but then what do you do with the other half?
Right.
Correct? And 4 is probably all it could fit in your capacity as you're going with it.
In my pants.
Yes, but so fine. The point is that synchronicity is a good example that you can understand how this other dynamic applies also. For example, do you find yourself thirsty?
Not that much.
I understand. Mm. And that's why the desire for water is not normally very close to your embrace.
Yeah.
But if you really get thirsty, it's odd for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you're like, wow, something's up. I need some fluid here. Doesn't have to be water, but fluid.
Yeah, and I often could say I don't even really get hungry because I'm always kind of
nibbling,
and I don't start nibbling till later, and I nibble before I really get hungry. So
right.
I mean, it does startle me. A couple weeks ago, I felt hungry. I said, I don't feel hungry often.
Indeed. That's a syncing up process as well. Because, see, and in the beginning of it, but see, for you, maybe the better example would be the feeling of fullness or completeness with your food.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much food is there, you eat till it's gone.
And then I make myself feel satisfied.
Or you just quit till it's time to graze again, till Connie lays something else out.
Yeah, now what is being synchronized here?
Well, your functions of consuming mass quantities.
Yeah.
And the completion of mass quantities. You've got to line up. There's a lot that has to go on for this all to sync up. Because otherwise, if you ever had the experience, well, rarely not, but with you, but have you ever had the experience where you kind of wanted something to eat specific, and then you got it, and it just really wasn't what you wanted, so then you wanted something else?
That is true. That doesn't apply to me too much.
Correct, because you don't care or know.
others
do have that experience.
Yeah.
They'll crave a banana, and
right.
They get a banana, and that's not really what they wanted. Then they want something salty, and then they want something sweet, and then they want something, you know, chewy, or the too. And then they go, yeah, that's what I want, that's what I want. And then that does it, then they're good. Well, if it just went straight to that to start with and not went through all the other things that they thought they wanted that they really didn't want to satisfy their ever-quenching, ever-unquenchable desire for food, see, you eliminate a lot of those, that process of trial and error of syncing up. So that's why this take no action before it's the fast answer the question if that's bad for your joy. Then what happens is you skip all that other crap and get right to the good stuff.
Yeah,
and
so
you do that just naturally when it's Snicker time. Snickers is all it'll do.
Right, you're saying that I kind of do it with the no action. I eat with
yes.
by taking no action. Don't feel any desire
right.
and just do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then. If Connie lays out a little, you eat it. If Connie lays out a lot, you eat it. And then you eat it.
And that's why I don't know whether we eat asparagus or anything. I don't notice it.
Correct. Don't even know if things are seasoned or not.
Yeah. I enjoy the taste, but don't even remember it almost.
Well, you don't notice the taste because that's not the deal breaker for you.
Right. Yeah, what would be the deal breaker? The whole experience or?
Well, crave a Snicker bar and there not be any. That'll tell you the answer to the question. Nothing else will do.
Right. I was
then
thinking.
You have to deny yourself your desire. You're going to hell with that noise. I'm not doing this song. Carolyn, when's market day? Tomorrow, Bob. Well, we're out of Snicker bars. Okay. Bob, we just bought a case of Snicker bars. We're not buying another case of Snicker bars.
Right.
Okay, fine. I'll just quit Snicker bars. Well, then, of course, she goes, great. And then she goes and says, and there's the Snicker bars, and they're on sale. And she's like, well, Bob's not having Snicker anymore. And he's having so much trans fat and carbohydrates and triple poison chocolate sugar rush, whatever. Melanin, it's over. And so I guess when we bury him in the stone cold grave, I won't have to spend any more money on Snicker bars. And all will be right with the world. So I'll get him 2 cages and we'll just get this over with. And then we're good.
Bob says, hey, I thought I quit. No, Bob, it's all in the fridge.
There you go. So that becomes, that's a sidebar. That's a sidebar, but it is a good example. Now, we'll give another one.
Before you go into that, I just sort of thought of something. This would be why I can't remember music. I enjoy
right.
music, but I don't care, and then I can't sing the song I just sang along to. I can't remember the words. That's the same kind of thing. So I live so much in the non-physical count that my physical life is a very tiny portion of my being.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way to say
maybe
it?
Maybe just aloofness.
Was it just, so I'm not
aloof.
In touch with the non-physical,
aloof.
I'm just aloof.
Yes. The aloofness allows.
Yeah, I've allowed an aloof. So why did I... The aloofness, is that a psychological response to something when I was young? Or is that my way of avoiding non-physical or being non-physical?
When were you young?
Yeah, well, I've always been that way then. So I came in with this aloofness.
They said you were old when you were 5, Bob.
Did they say that?
They did.
Yeah, I could be older, I could be younger. But the point is that this aloofness, you're saying it's not necessarily meaning I'm in touch with my non-physical, or that I'm dogmatically.
Well, that's
emphasized.
Your hope. It's your hope that you are, and the part that you allow that, then yes, of course it is, but. It's okay.
There's also another thing.
Whatever we answer, you're going to say, well, I don't know and I don't care, so what difference does it make? So, you know, either way, it's good. It's not a problem.
So there's a good point, Carol. My very not caring allows me to ask all kinds of questions, but it's walking the edge because Bob could not care and not ask anything. Something like that.
But we'll not give up until it gets the answer.
Yes, there's the contradiction, the paradox. So I was wondering if my aloofness is due to a fear of something.
Nope.
Fear of involvement.
Fear of nothing. You don't know anything to care about what to be afraid of.
I am a big void, a vibrating,
well,
pulsating
everything
void.
Everything you know is the very thing that you spend the rest of your days unknowing.
Canceling. Yes, and the way Ion said that in my apocalypse experience, Carol, I was going, I don't want to go, I'll get sick or something, all that thing, that's the way I was when I was a kid and still. Hey, Mom, I want something to eat. And then 2 minutes later, no, I don't want it. I want it. No, I don't want it. That is me, right, Ion? And I did it today. I said, I want to go. Oh, this is neat. No, no, I don't want to go. Not now. I'm not ready. Oh, no, let's go. Let's go. Oh, no. Right? That's the way my being works, right?
Great. We're already there now. How do we get back? Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. That was fun.
Now you can do Apocalypse.
No, it's Connie's turn because she'll head to bed before you get through.
No. You were going to relate to the word apocalypse, right, Kim?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, you can do apocalypse. I don't really have anything.
Yeah, did I have an apocalypse today?
No.
Okay.
Well. Now wait. Here we go. If we say yes, you say nah. We had no apocalypse. Rah.
Yeah. Is that all there is?
If we say yes. And if we say, no, you didn't have apocalypse, what? Why? Did Carolyn have an apocalypse? Why does she get to have an apocalypse and I don't get to have one? Why is she more special? Why is her apocalypse more important than my apocalypse? You know, this non-physical business, I'm really not into all this. So I'm like, you can't get an answer. You have to have a set in time. I can't do it what I want to do it. I have to be put in this dog pen up with these four walls, and I can't go any further. Now, I've got a non-physical that I'm limited to these little window minutes that are available and none other, and if it doesn't work this way, then nobody will play with me, so good, I'll just go to the beach.
See, we're going to put up with this for a couple of days. JW is so sensitive. His feelings get hurt so easily.
It's fun.
It's fun.
Now, the apocalypse. Everybody's been speaking of the apocalyptic era,
yeah.
The apocalyptic time, and what you experienced today was, let's just get it cleaned up finally for the record, was an apocalyptic event.
Uh-huh.
Now, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, Revelation 6, they speak of four horses, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The red horse, the blue horse, the pink horse. Oh, wait, no.
The white horse.
There's the white horse, the black horse, and the pale horse.
Yeah.
I guess that'd be a pale ale.
Yeah.
Well, these different horsemen of the apocalypse is where God, now get this now, get it just right now, because this is good. You're going to like this. Well, actually, we don't care if you don't like it. This is the way it is. Specifically, God sends these horsemen to bring in or usher in a new era in your world.
Hmm.
Okay? And they're divided specifically with the plagues and the fire falling from the sky and the famine.
And war.
And war. And rumors of wars.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's kind of the human condition, isn't it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People kind of have those all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They build monuments to who survived the plague. They're all over Europe now.
Mm-hmm.
They get rid of wars, then they have a parade, a ticker tape parade that we won the war, just getting ready for the next war. You see? And then everything is about the watching the heavens as they come crashing, careening into your world, waiting on the next supernova asteroid to come crash into the peninsula. We're talking about the Mexican Riviera.
Mm-hmm.
Smash them up that happened ever how many minutes ago.
Something just happened?
No. Well, you say 65 million years ago, but it seems like right now to us.
And that was a major impact. Is that the one that affected the dinosaurs?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
So you say.
And it hit the Mexico area.
Well, it hit. Yeah. And that where Cancun is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you were saying...
So, Carolyn, if you would please now look up apocalypse.
Okie dokie, Smokey.
Maybe we may even take you all the way to the Latin.
Okay.
Which I think that would be pronounced apocalypto. star.
Or Calypso, whatever. Okay, apparently there's an apocalypse cartoon series.
Yeah, that's Apocalypto.
Okay, this is the wiki. Do you want to start with the wiki?
We don't care.
Yes, you do.
No,
oh, my gosh, look at this. Apocalypse, lifting up the veil.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
That's where it came from.
Wow.
That's where the whole thing came from. And that's why Revelation was supposed to scare the excrement out of you, when indeed all it was telling you how it was going to be.
Oh, my gosh. And it says apocalypse, lifting up the veil, or Revelation.
Exactly.
Wow.
John of Patmos' version.
John of Patmos. Patmos?
Yes, Patmos.
Patmos. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, isn't that fun?
Mm-hmm.
So all this heebie-jeebie stuff that everybody's supposed to be scared to death of, it's not supposed to be scared to death at all. It's just to let you know that you are, you, God, are thinning the veil.
Mm.
And it will become a revelation and an apocalypse. And then there'll be no separation. There'll be no separation or division. Well, sometimes derision might be the better word. But there'll be no division between, guess who? You and you.
Mm-hmm.
So then, Bob, then you start giving a damn, and then you start remembering why you gave a damn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hoot. That's good. Then memory won't be a problem, because memory won't be required. It'll only be the now. The now, you won't have to remember a thing, because the only thing that'll be in your experience is the thing that is now. And so there'll be no remembering required. There'll be no recall necessary. All will be known.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have to worry about what you forget to remember to do tomorrow, or forget what you forgot to do yesterday, or the vuja day or deja vu, because it'll only be now.
Mm-hmm.
Period. That's the degree of ascension that eliminates all the questions.
Mm-hmm.
We said many moons ago that answers, or that questions will be answers will be questioned.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
What you're doing, you see. You give the answer from non-physical, and then that's what's questioned.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's been going on with this psychic world, and that you ask non-physical a question, or a psychic the question, and then you gauge their effectiveness by how it links up with your understanding of the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you knew the answer, why would you ask an Edgar Cayce anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you would.
Yeah.
See, that's the fun of it. That's very, very enlightening of how the human psyche allows itself to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem with the labyrinth of the mind, is if you get it, and then you can go with it, and all's right and well, or you do it like Bob does and don't give a damn anyway, cool, because then it doesn't mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you don't get undone, because it's not worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, it's kind of like, cool, no problem. But if it matters, not anti-matters, but matters, then all of a sudden, then you are pressed into the decision of embracing or not. Do I go or do I stay? Do I go or do I stay? Do I go or do I stay? Do I stay or do I go? Do I go or do I stay? Do I stay? Am I there? Am I there? Am I there? Am I there? And it's like you're in the car and she's going 70 miles an hour down the interstate. And then your question is, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And then finally your mother turns and says, yes, we're there. Get out. As you're going 70 miles an hour down the road. That's the way you do it yourself. But once you get there, once the apocalypse for you has arrived, then you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can read Revelation all of a sudden through a different set of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can embrace the horsemen. And then this reign of horror that God is crashing down on you meager humans, and then you realize who God is, and all of a sudden you go, oh yeah, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
It answers all the dogmatic problems with this spiteful, vengeful God sending these angels to come smote you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are so smotable, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not all of you. But when Smite Bob, the angel of the Lord could come down to Bob with his sword and say, Bob, we're going to do this and this and this. And you go, okay, angel, that's okay with me. Suits me if it suits you. Exactly who are you? Where did you come from? You know, I have this non-physical friend that I talk to. His name is Ion. Do you know Ion? Let me tell you about what Ion believes, and let me ask you a few questions and how it applies. Do you know how this works and that works? And do you know how old Methuselah really was? And on and on and on and on. So finally, Michael just says, thanks for the fish, Bob. We're going back on our way.
Oh, no.
Because Bob's not going to give up his power to an angel. Because he knows that he's more powerful than the angel. Mm-hmm. Now, if he forgot that, it doesn't matter. Because he's not going to give the conversation enough attention for it to be significant anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. And you see how sweet that is? That's the sweet spot in the golf ball world. When you hit in the sweet spot, that's where you get your drives. That's the goal. And you do it by not caring. Well, we're not suggesting be uncaring. We're suggesting to be not caring.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Uncaring means you're just being mean. But not caring means it just doesn't bother you, meaning it doesn't apply.
Mm-hmm.
You say, good. And that was pretty sweet, Bob. Good for you.
Yeah, there was, I think you said about 7 minutes ago that we asked the psychic a question or something and they give an answer. And then I think you said, then we question that answer.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Until you get it, and when you get it, then you don't ask anymore that question. You ask a new question.
Right, so we only ask when we're in the game mode. It's like a game. We say,
no.
Okay, we'll check.
No, you. No. Yeah, that's the game mode is good, but not like you got your game.
We're going to pretend we don't know something. We're going to pretend, we're going to ask you. And you're going to tell, and they're like, is that right? Well, so-and-so says this, and then we start quibbling about it. That's
or,
the kind of game.
Or understanding it, because there's been, you take things at face value very easy and apply them. And as long as it becomes a resonance or an applicable to you, then you go with it. Then you go, ha, 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 see there, Nelson, I told you I didn't have to die.
Nelson? You mean Nelson Saul?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. See, that sounds kind of trite and silly, but not so much.
Yeah.
When you use it as your experience, then they can't question it. They've doomed you with pancreatic cancer from the slick slack, folks. and you won't even have that. You're like, yes, I'm enjoying it thoroughly. Thanks so much. I'm glad you're able to share. And I hope the abundance that you shared with me will also come to your house as well. And I hope you enjoy it as much as I am. And thanks so much. And can't wait to see you on the next obligatory blog.
You know that, Carol. Just today and yesterday, they it's always public say, Bob, you enjoying your ass cancer? Not much time left, Bob.
You say, yes, absolutely. We're done with time in totality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I posted something about my ongoing coup at CKL in the radio station in Toronto, and someone says, you don't even know what a coup is. And I go, nope.
The coup d'etat is on you, Dad.
Yeah, they all just wrestle with their frustration. This fucking guy, he doesn't take anything seriously. He's a ridiculous respondent. He's just a void, a null. And yet they keep testing and poking me, and I keep being the null void to them, and they just keep coming back for more.
Very fun. And it serves you well because you don't give it any attention.
Right.
And that's great. And then it becomes, you become a pundit of being so radical that they actually like, well, you know, we can't beat him, so let's join him. Maybe he's got the answer to life. Maybe we have to say we've been converted. We're going to change our last name to Dobbs so we can be like you, Bob.
Yeah, there's two things. One guy, he really just manifests hate to me. And I'll say, hey, notice this here. And they go, no, I won't. So he says deny. He denies me all the time. Well, he actually, the other day, said his usual denial of me. Then he said, have a happy day. And somebody else says, what are you doing? Don't acknowledge him. He got chewed out by the other guy for saying, have a happy day, which is the first time he's ever said that. And that was a sign of total weakness. Because the guy, because Zappanaz, his name is, he actually said, have a happy day. And they're going, no, no, just keep saying, no, we're not interested. We don't care. don't wave at him.
yeah, exactly, exactly. And then he can say, and yes, and when you become enlightened like I am, that you can have a happy, I can enjoy a happy day, even with your ass cancer that you have shared so graciously in my experience. It's kind of like, that's how special I am now. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, and, you know, when October 22nd comes along this year.
Carolyn, hold on, Bob, just a second. We won't let you forget your thought. Carolyn, what are we doing? We're agging him on.
Yeah.
You have to sleep with him. How is this going to work?
Oh, I don't mind. He's been like this all for 40 years. There's no difference. No difference.
We used to have
Bing Bob.
Right. Now, the other thing happened today was this guy, Tater, he's the guy who came on our site, wanted to become a member, and then he just wreaked havoc. And so we had to ban him. So he even denied, he like is acting oblivious that he even went over to my site. Okay, so anyways, so he wrote, there's a posting today, homage to Purple. You know, I'm called Purple also because that's my email name, all right? Homage to Purple. And it's a story about him and another guy visiting Norman Mailer and Marsh McLuhan and basically beating them up or something. Nothing about me.
Uh-huh.
But what is the homage to Purple? The guy made up this bullshit story of going and beating up... So,
you were hero.
Yeah, just beating up Norm Mailer and McLuhan. Uh-huh. In other words, it was a lie.
Uh-huh.
He was doing a homage to Purple because they claim I'm always lying about my involvement with famous people, right?
Uh-huh.
So he did a homage by imitating me.
Right.
Writing his story about being involved with McLuhan and beating him up.
Very good. You're making writers out of them.
That's right, and the cool ones on Bob's side are just amazed. They said, how can these guys be doing this for years and years and years, just focusing on me and making sure I get beat up every day? Like, they don't understand why that's happening. They think it's great that I pull that off, but it still puzzles them.
Yeah.
Okay, back to Carolyn Island.
Okay. Well, that was what we had.
Okay, so apocalypse. So the four horsemen, your point was it happens every day, all the time.
No.
Okay, the four horsemen happen all the time, or only, like you did say, they happen every day. The four horsemen.
Time. If time, if we could put time in a bottle, time is the issue with the Bob.
Oh, okay, so they happen.
Time and you're good. We're not going to play with time anymore because it's not serving you or non-physical well.
Right, but you did say a little while ago, describing the four horses, you described them, and then you said, now, doesn't that seem to happen every day? Didn't you say that,
yeah,
Joe?
Yeah, every day is okay. That's every now. Okay
every now. So they're always happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And because that's...
And that's the anomaly. That's when you start running the exegesis on the whole process. You get lost in the shuffle, in the requiem, because it doesn't make sense, because it's done. No, it's not. It's just starting. No, it's done. No, it's just starting. No, it's done. No, it's just starting. Well, you don't know if you're going or coming. You see? And so you got to be, how are you going to be part of the 144,000? Well, what if there are 144,000 of you?
Oh.
Now what are you going to do with it?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Starts making sense then.
So these horsemen, you're saying they're ushering in the new era.
No, they are not.
Well, that's
they
what
are
you
the
said.
Example. They are the example that that God, use to sift the experiences of your process of creation.
Right. They're an example. They are why we come here, to mix it up and experience contrast. They're the extreme archetypes of contrast that we want to experience here.
Well, that's right. And if you had no devil, you wouldn't have anything to push against.
Yeah.
If you had no process, then you wouldn't care. then you get like where Bob is already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water, they can be translated equal to, if you're to think you're describing the physical as earth, air, fire, and water, you could also say it's the four horsemen. That's the contrast of existence, of the physical.
Yeah. It gives you quite an equestrian point of view then, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it actually fits my chart, because the four elements representing four media environments, which are all tragic and apocalyptic or disruptive, and then I just put the four horsemen over them.
And enlightening and euphoric,
yes,
and disappointing and
questioning. I have paranoia, schizophrenia, hysteria, panic, and ecstasy. All five are in the effects. So,
at the same time, mostly.
Yeah, all at the same time, and the four horsemen can be laid over that. It's just another metaphor. It's the same process.
And overlay, so you can try to understand it.
Yes.
As the first book of the Bible, see, that's perfect, because then you let all the human creators know what the score is and how it all works. And then you work backward all the way back to Adam, and it becomes a wonderful experience.
Very good. So my chart is generally an exegesis of Finnegan's Wake.
It's upside down.
My chart is upside down?
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's actually an exegesis of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So it can fit there. It goes backwards, because I'm at the bottom. So it begins with Bob. I'm at the bottom on the fifth phase, but actually I'm the beginning point. I'm the Adam, or the end point, either way.
Well, what's the difference?
Yeah, what's the difference?
You don't know where it starts and stops either, so
yes.
Fair enough. Yeah, no end. World without end. Okay, good.
Yep.
Good. So that's fun. That's good. Yes, Carolyn?
Now we go on to Carolyn's topic.
I don't know.
What about 1960, Carolyn? Try to interpret.
Yeah, what's going on with 1960, where we are going to do the history of 1960 the way we want to do it?
Well, no, actually, that's close. But we were giving the example of having the conversation in 1960, because the words that we were saying would then be judged based on your hysterically historical references of how you're describing 1960. So the only way to do that is to do it as 1960 is now, which it is. Oh, no, I guess it's, yeah, still 1960. And you're in 1960, so you write it. So history will record it, so you adjust it the way you want to.
That is true, Carolyn, that Ion was saying last night that it's what started off as Ion said, well, those who are listening now, when they hear this, Bob, we want to get it right because they're going to think this is 1960. That's what started the topic. Remember? I was saying,
well, we had to get it back to Barry Goldwater, and we don't even start that can of cat soup again. But the whole process of the Bay of Pigs and the whole process of figuring it all out, working all the details out, because it was happening, we were discussing it before it was. Because the way it was, no one would recognize. But if you told about it in 1960, all of a sudden, you'd be ahead of the game, because you'd be foretelling, pre-telling the current events. That's what's wrong with your history books and your school books now. They can't write them fast enough because they keep changing. Well, did history change? Did American history change? Yes, it is. Now, all of a sudden, Thomas Jefferson had slaves that he bore children with and had children just all over the place. Well, that's not the way history recorded, but that's the way it was. So I guess they've retold it now the way it was, the way it really was.
Mm-hmm.
So there really isn't much difference when you get there. Listen to your news.
But, okay, because what Bob took it as, and I sort of took it as, is we're going to be kind of meddling with history and changing it.
Uh-uh. You're not meddling with it. You're straightening it out.
Okay, so it's like Ion is going to tell us, okay, with Jefferson, yeah, he was back there. He had, you know, four different slave women, and he's got 52 great-great-grandchildren now. So it's cleaning it up in terms of giving that sort of history?
Well, we would say ooh. Not necessarily, but the dynamic is more on the stage of the history is not historical. The future is not futuristic. When you take the time element out of all of this, it changes so radically, every fleeting second becomes an anomaly of an unsynchronized synchronicity. Gosh, that sounds like Marshall McLuhan.
Mm.
That's scary. You see, okay, ask some questions because you don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll say something. He was saying it's not historical. It's all now, Carolyn. That's the premise here. It's all now. 1960 is now.
Right.
And Barry Goldwater was a pale horseman of the TV landscape.
Mm-hmm.
He was a contrast creator.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, as far as the McCarthyisms were, yes.
Was he involved in McCarthyism in the 50s? Was he a proponent of it?
It was the ending of it. It was the full...
Right. He was very right-wing, they say, and wanted to nuke North Vietnam and things like that.
Of course. Before it got out of hand.
Right. And that would be the McCarthy anti-communism. So he was the last gasp of the 50s hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
And it still goes on, is what Ion said.
It is indeed.
Just now it's terrorists.
Mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
Instead of communism, it's terrorism. Good.
So,
and before it was terrorism, you were a dope dealer.
So all history gets mashed together. We just keep repeating cycles of contrast.
Well, that's what they say about it. That's what they say about it. But the contrast, see, if they don't figure it out, what happens is they keep up in the ante, where it becomes larger and larger and larger degrees of contrast. And let's go back to 1960. People didn't worry about their kids playing in the yard that some gangbanger was going to come by and shoot up their children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Right.
Well, so they didn't deal with that in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
So it grew and got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. To the point where it now is, it's no different than it was then. People died in 1960. People died of lead poisoning in 1960 from their .38 caliber pistols.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It happened. But now it's grown into such a larger dynamic that it's even activated a stage of fear. Now, what was happening in 1960? That's when everything was in fear. Everybody was afraid of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm, yeah, the bombs were going to drop.
Oh, yes, and they hadn't even got all of their bomb shelters completely
mm-hmm.
stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting ready for the Y2K because it was coming and on and on and on and on and on. Well, you see, it was always based on that dynamic. Well, now that same dynamic that hasn't been answered the question of what's the fastest path to my joy now comes into where... Now you got the gangbangers going by, putting caps in your ass, and there you go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's the same song, it's just a different verse.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd have told 1960 the way it really was, all of a sudden 1960 would have been historically recorded in a different light where it would have been dealt with, just like polio.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That's
a softer way to do it. Now ask your question.
So, does going through this dynamic of every decade is the same, is that another...
No, not the same.
Because mm-hmm.
some things get answered and dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have that question any longer.
Okay.
So, but other things that don't get dealt with grow until they are dealt with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, that's that process. In your lookity box, you have a lookity box, and you look at the lookity box, and they have a movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Mm-hmm.
The premise of that movie is that humans don't change until they don't have a choice.
Uh-huh, right.
Wait a minute now. Humans do not change until humans do not have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And when their choice is eliminated, then they change.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that we don't understand that, but it seems to be a recurring theme, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But what sense does it really make? None whatsoever.
Right. Now, back to when things are similar throughout the decades, sometimes they change and sometimes they don't. Is that another explanation of how there is no time?
We don't want to prove that there is no time, because then we'd have to recognize that there is this semblance of time that's being
misconstrued. Unproven, right.
That's what we'll leave that to the scientists. The scientists are great at that kind of thing. We'll leave that to them, because if we told you the correct answer, please form your answer. Please state your answer in the form of a question, just like your double jeopardy. You get to a place where...
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah. Okay.
Now, do you understand when you just did that, you started recognizing what's actually taking place there?
Oh, yeah. There's someone just passed through me.
Mm-hmm.
Some residue.
And all of a sudden, that becomes a clear and present for you, becomes a clear and present help. Because now, changing the subject is spot on. It puts you into a place where it doesn't offend the labyrinth of your mind. Because you weren't offended, were you?
No.
You weren't less than because of that.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so now if you'd have recorded that in 1960, you wouldn't have had all those years of not knowing it, so it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Then that would have become normal, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes fun. What if you'd have known how to make pate in 1960? How wonderful your world must be. Correct.
Right, but time, I need to get back to the time, because I guess I thought that when you were talking about 1960, Bob, were you mute?
He didn't have time.
I thought it was mute.
When you were, you haven't been muted for 10 minutes, and you've been banging all over the house.
No,
golly. And I don't know what you've been banging either.
Stuff away. I just said, just
me and the van. You're muted now. You're trying to knock it now. You're muted. You're so off me.
Just me and the ghost maid. Me and the maid were having a little twist in the corner there.
Exactly.
I thought I had the mute on.
He discovered coitus, and now all of a sudden he's all engaged.
Yeah. Ghost is coitus. Something like that. Hey, I thought of something on the way home. We have, in the movie, we have Queen Mother going into the wall. You know, 1919, we have the guys who become the Jewish scientists making discoveries in Germany, which sets up the battle between Germany and England.
Oh.
Yes, and then don't...
The same time.
Exactly. And then you also have, in that same window before the World War, you also have the issue dealing with Tesla and all that process.
Oh, yeah. Right. We got to add Tesla and the German scientists. We forgot to put that in. That might have been in the pension stuff. But the thing is, Carol, you would have maybe Rachel, the medium, or just starting to be a medium or something, you know, and that would be a precursor of Ion, but Ion would not be a medium, but we think it was when we were looking back in 1919. The voice comes through Rachel.
And then you better add the Plantagenet as well.
Right, the Plantagenet. Now, what scientist or person... We have Einstein in the patent office. He'd probably be part of that period. But which Jewish scientist or which Nazi, maybe it's even Hitler, would be having something in the late teens that would be that lead to the use of the mediums by the Third Reich in the 30s?
They didn't call it that way. They called them in the German enunciation that they were known as knowers.
Okay. So who was experiencing?
They could say the Der Schirn process of knowing.
Did you say Der Schirn?
Der Schirn.
Der Herr Schirn.
Der Schirn.
Is that H-E-R-R, or how are you spelling hair?
Not. Sair. S-H-A-I-R.
S-H-A-I-R. Schirn. And Scherhern means a
Der
knower?
Der Schirn.
Schirn means a knower?
You'd call that a yes.
Yeah, I'm just asking what the word Sharon.
Well, we were trying to give you that they weren't known as mediums or fortune tellers or gypsies or
They were known as Scherhorn.
That is basically knower.
Yeah, which is, in their word, Scherhorn. The knower equals the German word Scherhorn. Okay.
Correct. But we didn't want to confuse you, which we did. Yeah. So go figure. But anyway.
But who's the personality that would be experiencing the Scherhorn or doing something at the same time as Queen Mother, and then they'd end up being sort of, quote, antagonists?
From the German Reich?
Yeah. Or from that world, that would be a person who's going to show up like the Queen Mother, like the young woman who becomes the Queen Mother. What person in Germany is doing something in the teens, having some experience?
Baron von Lippstern. It's pronounced a little different with the correct German, you know, vernacular, but Lichtstern.
How would
not Lichtenstein, Lichtstern.
Well, just spell it. How would you spell it?
Well, in German, L-I-S...
C-H?
B-H-E-R...
Lichtstein. Lichtstein.
Yeah, Lichtstein.
Lichtstein is how they do it, but we go with Lichtstein. Okay, so there's someone we can develop later. Good. Back to Carolyn's... We
time.
Were talking about 1960, Carolyn.
No, we were talking about time. Carolyn was asking about understanding this dynamic of time, and you jumped in 10 minutes ago.
Right. So what, Carolyn, what did you want to say, or what were you saying?
Well, I guess when I've thought about time, how it bends on itself, and yes, you know, the Egyptian time is now and all that, I sort of understood it in a general way then, but now when you're talking about, well, we're the same time now as 1960 or 1970 or 1980, then that's a little more difficult for me to grasp.
Right. Now, here's what I got. The ratios change. There was a lot of fear in 1960, but people suppressed it because everything was nice, and they didn't expect their kids to be...
And when they suppressed it, guess what happened? It got bigger.
Right. So here it is, Cal. It is 2010, but it's 1960 in terms of all the parents now consciously hide their kids because someone could steal them. Well, there was that kind of fear in 50 years ago in 1960, but nobody expressed it, and everybody pretended that they weren't going to get hijacked. You see what I mean, Carolyn?
Yeah.
So what if you suppress, so it's 1960.
Anything.
Yeah, it's 1960 with the... veneer off.
Right.
Because we're still doing the anti-communist thing.
So how does that relate to time?
How does it relate to the guys going back and changing the pyramids? Because that's what we thought you meant us to do, is that we're going to go back to 1960 and start changing the setup
Well, you certainly can. If you could, instead of trying to understand time, if you could just get rid of it, all of a sudden all this stuff becomes... actually not a conversation.
Okay, so the people, future humans, or whatever they are, that are putting the pyramids back there, they're ridiculous. They're caught in time and trying to correct it.
No, they're taking advantage of no time and using it as a way to steer you into their reality.
Of getting to the level of no time.
Of now.
They perceive all that there's no time. And they want to move us into getting to that perception.
Right, so they can be in that perception.
Yeah, so that then they would be, the veneer would be off and the veil would be lifted and we'd see them, right? We'd see them, we'd experience them. Because could see them, because we had arrived at their level.
Yes, but don't do it from the standpoint of trying to undo the knowingness of time. Why can't it just be there now only? And all that is within the concept or confines of now.
Yeah, there is. So we don't have to undo the concept of time.
Right, because then you get like Carolyn and you get the large dynamic, and then when you get to the grits and gravy. So you're saying, Ion, that if I'm going to sprain my foot and there is no time, that I can sprain my foot and be over the sprain at the exact same moment and not have to have moments of
duration of
contrast.
Pain. Duration
contrast.
Of contrast.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And then we say absolutely. And you go, well, now, wait now, and we're trying to understand this. So how long does a cold last? Well, as long as you'd like it to. Okay? How long does it take a cell in the cellular dynamics of the human genome, how long does it take a cell to replicate itself? Ellen?
Pretty fast.
How fast?
Almost instantaneous.
Okay. Well, if that's true, and you're having gallbladder problems, why can't those cells instantaneously adjust and correct themselves to where you have no gallbladder issue? Right?
Right. Right.
But if you've got time, then you go, no, there's gallstones, and, you know, there's all kinds of nastiness, and they hadn't taken care of themselves, and they didn't eat right, they had too many Snicker bars, and they just live like hell, and hell now has caught them in the gallbladder, so get the knife, we'll just cut it out. Okay. Now, that's the answer that they come to, and it sometimes can be the fastest path to your joy. No problem. But if your question, you answered the question that it's practically instantaneous, if that is so the reality, when they cut an appendage off, then you should be able to instantaneously reconstruct the part of your meat sack that you forfeited to the saw. Correct?
Hey, Carol.
He's thinking.
Oh.
No, I'm not. I'm washing my hands. Yes. Miraculous. They call it miraculous healings, but we get it to the point of, you know, that it's normal.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. And the only issue that makes that hard is the introduction of the concept of time. Now, isn't it interesting, since you've gotten there, Bob, isn't it interesting that you are at a very young age, they have to teach you to tell time?
That's right. And a supplement to that, and we're leading up to a story, an item I'm going to bring up, which relates to this, but you know, the Stephen Hawking book in the middle 80s, A Brief History of Time, which made him famous. Look at that, Carol. The guy's wrestling with time. And when people hear Ion talk about no time and all that, they think it's simple-minded, but that's the main agenda. We're out to get rid of the Hadron discoveries or to clarify that they're on a false... What's that, me or you, Carol? Is that me or you, Carol? Are you there, Ion?
Sorry, that was just me.
It's a very sensitive button you have there, right? It makes that noise.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, it reverberates.
Oh, man.
Like mine doesn't do that, I don't think. But anyway.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't so pleasant for you, darling.
Well, what it is when the headset thing disconnects from the phone, then it gives the noise. I didn't hear it this time, but I have. Okay. What did I miss? The Hadron Collider.
Yeah, well, that Ion is saying there's no time, and all discoveries will go to understanding that. And so we're teasing and countering the Stephen Hawking's and the Hadron guys trying to explain time, which leads into this article, which relates to this. I'm saying that, you know, this brief history of time, this whole time nonsense is so powerful in human reality, human concepts, that it would be very hard to beat it.
But they're not, has it been? That's easy, though, Bob. And we don't want to distract from what you're going to do, because we want to do that. But that's not very difficult. All we have to say is, how's time treating you?
Right. Now everybody will say, yeah, I wish I didn't have any. Or I wish I had a lot of it or something. You
exactly.
Know.
And it just depends on where they are. From where they are is how they answer that question. Oh, I wish I had more time. Well, all I have is time. I'm just bored. There's nothing going on. I'm bored. I want something to do. Oh, well, you mean you want more time to do it? No. Yes. Yeah, if I had more time, I'd do. And then it just goes on and on and on. So it's very simple. All you do with the human creator is say, ask them how they are and afraid to death that they're going to tell you how they are. And then you go, well, how's that working for you? Well, it sucks, and it's no good, and it's yucky, and I'd hope for so much more. And we go, exactly. Good. Have a nice day, and then run. But the point is that you listen, and when you listen in that interaction of that expression of now, it would become a, we've done this already, it would be a nowism.
Yeah.
And that nowism can then be applicable to your reality of now. Guess what? Then if you take, just like you take lived and do it backwards,
yeah,
and you get deviled.
Take now, you deviled, get one.
You get one. You won.
Yeah.
Not win, because that means that you're going to win.
Yeah, you won.
No, we won.
Thy kingdom came.
Thy kingdom came. Very good. Very good. See, Connie, he got it. It only took him 4 Snickerbars.
Okay, so we were talking about the, you digress into the time.
You're going to read your article now, sorry.
Yeah, but there was something you were bringing up that related. Okay, so the...
Oh, we don't matter.
No, the you were saying, you were pointing out, you bring up time to people. And
we rarely bring up time to people.